Our Easter Gospel is recorded in the 24th chapter of the Gospel, according to Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's been a memorable week. We'll remember the pre-Easter storm of 2022 for years to come. We'll tell stories about being stuck at home, about snow blowing and shoveling, of ranchers fighting to save their livestock. We'll remember worship services canceled and relying once again only on the live stream services to be able to proclaim the gospel. We around here at Trinity will remember the Friday when a whole little army of people showed up to help clear sidewalks. I mean, believe me, it almost looked like summer around here. The sidewalks, well, no, it didn't. But we had clean sidewalks. And then 7 o'clock this morning happened. And we'll remember that too, and we will tell stories of it. In the midst of this storm, I've had time to do a lot of remembering, reminiscing. You might have seen it. The media has talked about the fact that this is the 25th anniversary of a whopper spring storm. Jan and I were living in Iowa in the midst of that storm, so we really don't have memories of it. The only thing that I do know for certain of that storm is that is the reason that the Western North Dakota Synod Assembly, the gathering of other ELCA churches, no longer happens in the spring. It happens in June. Because that year, the storm moved in as the assembly was gathering in Williston, and some people didn't get out of there. And seminarians who had traveled out here from those who were being assigned to Western North Dakota that year got stuck on an Amtrak train for several days over by Fargo in the midst of that storm. My only recollection. But I can remember the spring storm of 84. Jan and I were living in married student housing at Minot State University at the time. For whatever reason, I could not get to work that afternoon at KXMC, so somebody picked me up. Maybe it was because I drove a Pinto. Could be. But because I got to work, I got the gift of being able to have a slumber party with some of my best friends who were photographers, reporters, engineers, and DJs at the radio stations that were with us in the building. It was a storm. We got to eat because there were people who liked to snowmobile in storms, and they delivered food out to us on what at that time was the edge of Minot. The next morning, or the next day, it wasn't morning, it was the next day when I was able to get home, The top of the Pinto was all that stuck out in the midst of the white snow. The job of digging it out was huge. I don't remember it. I do remember that in the following week, I traveled as an ag reporter to different ranches where they showed the devastation to the livestock herds. There were a lot of cattle that were already out in pasture at that time. They were pushed by the storm, and they just kept going with their butts to the wind, some of them coming to rest in sloughs. They stood there, upright yet frozen in place, as if they were still walking. I remember the blizzards as a kid, going outside to help Dad with chores, feeding cattle, milking cows. I never minded blizzards. Remember that we had a big old coat at the farm. There was a hood that flopped up. It was Dad's uncle's coat from years and years ago. The buttons were all gone. Much of the shell was shredded, and yet it was still warm, and you'd wrap it around yourself, but since there were no buttons, you'd have to tie a scarf or a twine string to keep it on, and you could go out, and you didn't feel the wind at all. I remember sitting on the lee side of a stack of hay, the wind just raging over top. But in that spot with a growing snowdrift in front, incredible peace, just peace. Lots of memories, lots of remembering this week. It seems to me that the lead up to Easter and Easter Sunday are all about remembering and creating memories. We remember what was while we build memories from what is, memories that will carry us through whatever is to come in our futures. So this morning, as we read from the Gospel of Luke, we remember these women. It was early in the morning. They come with no expectations except to do what you do when someone you love dies. You go. You clean the body. You anoint the body. They come bearing the spices that they had prepared. I am certain that their companion that morning was despair and grief. As they approached the place where Joseph of Arimathea had laid the lifeless body of their teacher, I would guess they came with certain expectations, like that they had a huge job in front of them to roll that stone away. How are we going to do that? I would guess that they expected to confront a bloodied and bruised body, nail-pierced hands and feet, a spear that had gone through the side. They come out of the love of their teacher, these women who had been with him during the teaching and the preaching and the miracle making. But as they arrive, the memorable begins to unfold because the stone was not in its place. They stick their heads inside and there is no body. But all of the sudden in their midst are two men with dazzling clothes. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" they ask. Those are Easter words. Words to remember, captured by the pen of Luke, these words draw us toward life, real life. Here they are standing in a place of endings, and instead they are being pointed toward a new beginning, toward a resurrection life. That first Easter morning, the women were looking for nothing more than a body. They got a lot more than that. This Easter morning, what do you come looking for? Why are you here? What do you expect? Are you looking for life? At its heart, that is the gift of the Easter story. It is life and life abundant. We come to the empty tomb because we want it to be so. We live in a world that is bent on death. Death from war, death from words that are thrown at us by those who would rather tear us down than build us up. Death from the never-ending messages that assault us again and again and again, trying to tell you that what you have is not enough and that you most certainly are not enough. Those are death words. But the resurrection message stands against all of that. Jesus' resurrection was for you. And all the others who come seeking a word of promise, a word of hope, a word from God which says, I love you. In just a little bit, we are going to gather around this table. And as we do, Pastor Lee will remind us of the words that Jesus said, this is my body given for you. This is my blood given for you. This is for you. An act of utter selfless love for your sake. You are enough. Because you are a beloved child of God. See, what happened in the cross, what happened in the midst of the empty tomb, was God in action freeing you. You were freed from sin, death, and the devil, that you might live for the sake of others. So I am told that athletes train so that they have muscle memory. I have to say that I am told because I'm not an athlete. I tried to play one once upon a time. It was tragic. But they practice again and again and again so that without thinking, their muscles will act when they need to. They can move just like that. That's why we remember the resurrection. It's muscle memory for life. So that without a blink of an eye, we move from sitting to serving our neighbor, because that's what the resurrection frees us to do. So I was sitting around yesterday afternoon flipping through Facebook, and I saw a post from a pastor friend who is in Minot. She said that she, her husband, and daughter had cleared the upper part of their driveway. They had made a path toward the lower part of the driveway, but the lower driveway was still a mess. So I'm a little bit slow, but it just hit me this morning at about 18 inches of snow and mined at 36 inches. That's twice as much as we've got. Can you imagine what it looked like on that driveway? And I'm thinking, who wants an upper driveway and a lower driveway, especially with 36 inches of snow? But in her post, she said, we could use some help. Anyone with a bobcat want to come over and visit? We'll pay. And then the comments began to roll in. Good luck. Everyone's digging out on their own. Later in the day, I went back to Facebook, and there's a picture she's posted of someone from Kenmare who loaded up their huge snowblower and came to their rescue. That is resurrection muscle memory. People who would jump up and drive 50 miles to go help someone who put out a call for help. This week, I attended the funeral of a grand woman, a lifelong cheerleader. Barely taller than a yardstick and a third, she was a giant in showing love, always ready to share a hug, a smile, a warm word of encouragement, which meant that made you feel cared for, loved, special. I thought I was special in her eyes. But I learned something at the funeral. She had that impact on everyone, because story after story after story was told from people of how Amanda made them feel special. That's resurrection muscle memory. She lived the gospel for the sake of others just by her countenance, just by her being. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the tomb is empty. He is risen. The truth of this ancient story echoes into the midst of ourselves, and it brings us life. I hope that sometime today you can sit back and find a space to just flip through the pictures in your memory of those times when people showed up in your life. A time that may have been dark, a time that may have been lonely, a time where you needed a word of hope and promise, and just like that, somebody showed up. I will tell you, I don't think it was coincidence. I think it was the Holy Spirit at work in the midst of resurrection people coming into your life with a gift of grace and mercy. Remember those times. Remember those people. And then let us be one. Thanks be to God. Amen.